WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Dr. Paul Esposito. I'm pastor of Island Community Church. I thank you for joining me here today. God bless you. Thank you for taking 30 minutes of your day here on this Monday. Hey, maybe it's Tuesday. We're going to let this opening play Tuesday as well. You are tuned in to WGOD. God is always broadcasting. Hence the name of this program. Being a radio man for 25 years, I love the truth that God is always broadcasting, like having a radio and turning the dials and search for something. Well, now you've tuned in to WGOD. You're going to hear a word from God today. We'll let this program play Monday and Tuesday. This is my sermon from last Christmas, 2021, and it's called The Magi Meet the Messiah. It was grateful to hear Pastor Jim Johnson preaching this last weekend here at church, how the shepherds knew more than we understand, that they knew that there's so much more to the shepherds than what we accept and receive as the Christmas story. Likewise, there's so much more to the Magi than what you realize. And these guys knew where to look. We're going to look here today and tomorrow at how they knew. What did these guys know that's lost on us today? That's my message here for Monday and Tuesday. The Messiah meet the Magi. The Magi meet the Messiah. No services this Wednesday night as my wife and I are off on vacation this week. And Pastor Darren Solana will be delivering the word on Sunday morning. Though we will be there, but Pastor Darren is preaching. But no Wednesday night services this week at church. And looking forward to seeing you back again soon. We'd love to see you this Sunday. I encourage you to come and visit. God's doing an awesome work at our church. You're invited. Pastor Darren's a wonderful preacher. And I know you'll be blessed if you come this Sunday morning. I'll be back preaching the following week, picking it up in the book of Ephesians. Here today, The Magi Meet the Messiah. Looking forward to Christmas Eve service. Next week, I'm going to preach on John the Baptist. The mysterious John the Baptist. Oh, there's so much more to this guy. You know, while on one side of town here, you got everything we've witnessed between the angels and the Christmas story in Luke. But down the street over here on Jerusalem and Vine is this hulking, mysterious John the Baptist with his leather coat on, eating, what does he eat again? Curds and whey? What? Lo mein? Oh, locusts. Honey and locusts, right. Broccoli? He is no longer my hero. For those visiting, I've got a thing against broccoli. I hate it, and the church family knows it. Greetings to everyone joining us on Facebook. I think we identified the problem. The problem was Brother Bill. So, won't be the last time you're called a problem.
I was sending out all my friends around the world. I was sending
the link. See, what a rip that is. So now we've got to stop that because it's breaking up the... That's all right. The audio's going fine. The Magi meet the Messiah. That's what we're looking at here today. This will prove an interesting combination. But have you ever connected the dots before?
You know, I love connecting dots. I think you should call me Dot Man. I bet you that Gmail address is open, Dot Man. Let's start our sermon off today in an unusual place, the book of Daniel. If you have a Bible, if not, I would let you borrow mine, but I might need it later. We've got some underneath the seat, the chairs, right? The book of Daniel, chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2, verse 1. Now, in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams, wherewith his spirit was troubled and his sleep broke from him. Then the king commanded to call the magician. Now, every time you see that word magician, you can underline it, especially if you're not using your own Bible. So when the next person comes in, they can see magician underlined, and they'll say, oh, what does that mean? Magician. So the king commanded to call all the magicians. It's not what you think. And astrologers and sorcerers and Chaldeans for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit is troubled to know the dream. Then spoke the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac. King James calls it Syriac. We also could say, what? Aramaic. Saying, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. So the king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. If you will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses will be made a dunghill. Yikes! There's nothing worse than a temperamental king or president. So here in the second chapter of Daniel, we run into a group of Babylonians that our English Bible labels magicians. And these were professional stargazers. They were stargazers. So the king's got a dream. The king has a dream. The king has made a proclamation stating that unless someone can tell him both his dream and the interpretation, that the, well, let's let Daniel tell us. Chapter 2, verse 11. Daniel 2, 11. For this cause the king was angry and very furious, and he commanded to destroy all the, now every time it says wise men in here, I'm going to substitute magi for wise men. For this cause the king was angry and very furious, and he commanded to destroy all the magi in Babylon. So no one can answer the king's dreams, and all the magi in Babylon are scheduled to die. Verse 13. So the decree went forth that the magi should be slain. And they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which had gone forth to slay all the magi in Babylon. Verse 15. So he answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is this decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. So all of the magi in Babylon are scheduled to die unless somebody somehow can save them from sure death. Verse 16. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house, made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies from the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the magi in Babylon. Then, verse 19, then the secret was revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever. For wisdom and might are his. He changes the times and the seasons." Get this. "He removes kings and setteth up kings. He gives wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He reveals the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness. The light dwelleth with him." By the way, God still does these things today. He raises up kings and presidents and world rulers. And he removes them too. When they become filled with too much pride, like Nebuchadnezzar here, God removes kings. Now, verse 24. "Therefore Daniel went in unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the Magi of Babylon. So he went in and said thus unto him, 'Destroy not the Magi of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show to the king his interpretation.' So then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste, and said thus unto him, 'I have found.'" You didn't find nothing. You have found. They have found. You found. I have found. "A man of the captives of Judah, that'll make known unto the king the interpretation. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, 'Art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen, and the interpretation thereof?' Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, 'The secret which the king hath demanded, cannot the magi or astrologers or magicians or soothsayers show unto the king.'" Now, so as the story goes, Daniel is able to tell the king of Babylon his dream and the interpretation of it. All right, now after that, verse 46, the king rewards Daniel. Verse 46. "Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors or incense unto him. The king answered unto Daniel and said, 'Of a truth it is that your God is the God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets. Seeing thou couldest reveal this secret.' Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and made him chief of the governors of the Magi." Amen. In Babylon. Is this starting to make a little bit more sense to you now when we read Matthew chapter 2 and the Christmas story? There you have it. Daniel is the ultimate hero to these guys. Daniel saved their lives. Daniel was the servant of the Most High God, El Elyon. When you mention the name Daniel, the Magi, it's kind of like saying the name of Randolph Scott. Randolph Scott. That's who Daniel was. Come on, everyone knows that joke, don't you? Randolph Scott. Oh. Randolph Scott. All right, never mind. But anyway, that's what they would have done. Daniel is the hero of the Magi. Now, a few years later after that, let's turn to chapter 9 of the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. This is what Daniel said. He said, 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah, the prince. There shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The streets will be built again, and the wall, even in troublesome times. After 62 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off. Greek, the Hebrew there means to suffer the death penalty. So after the 62 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off, but not for himself. The people of the prince who is to come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end will be with a flood. Until the end of the war, desolations are determined. Okay, now, the word for week here, this Hebrew word Shabuah, actually means a week of years. Which would be how many? 7 years, man just said. So when it says 70 weeks, it's actually 70 sevens. 70 periods of seven. Now look once more at verse 25 in this prophecy of Daniel. Know therefore and understand that from the goings forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until the Messiah comes, there'll be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. All right, that's 69 weeks total. 69 times 7 is 483 years. Once the command was given to rebuild Jerusalem until the Messiah comes, will be 483 years. Now, we're already in the year 536 BC. Now, fast forward some 90 years from that, and you come to the king's cupbearer, a young Jewish man named Nehemiah. In the book of Nehemiah, chapter 2, verse 1, it says this. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 1. Now it came to pass in the month of Nisan, on the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, I took the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had never been sad in his presence before. All right. Now tell me God doesn't have a sense of humor or doesn't want you to know Bible prophecy. Come on, people. Historians can tell you not only when this is, but what day of the week. When was the last time you read something described like this? Well, in the 20th year of the king, in such and such a month, on such and such a day, he's given you a starting point. It's very rare to find in a Bible a day given like that. Again, historians can tell you what day of the week, not only the year, the day of the week. He didn't do this on accident. Holy Spirit continues. Therefore, the king said to me, why is your face sad, since you're not sick? This is nothing but sorrow of heart. So I became dreadfully afraid. Remember, these kings were crazy. They'd king you, they would kill you for no reason. I became dreadfully afraid. I'm in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 2. I became dreadfully afraid, and I said to the king, may the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city and the place of my father's tombs lies in waste and its gates are burned with fire? Verse 4, then the king said to me, what do you request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. I'll stop for a minute. You know, sometimes all you have time is for a quick prayer like that. Like right here. God, help me out here. I need your favor. You know, you can't stop. We'll all be back, King. I need a half an hour to pray. Sometimes you don't have half an hour to pray. Sometimes you only got a quick minute to pray. And that's what happened here with Nehemiah. Sometimes it can be the same thing with you. God put someone on your heart. You're going to see him. You might only have a quick minute to pray. That's all Nehemiah had here. God, help me here. The king says, what do you request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. He didn't leave. And I said to the king, verse 5, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask you that you would send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, so that I may rebuild it. So that I may rebuild it. To catch that phrase. Verse 6. Then the king said to me, the queen also sitting beside him, how long will your journey be? And when will you return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Furthermore, I said to the king, if it pleases the king, let letters be given to me for the governors of the region beyond the river, that they must permit me to pass through until I've come to Judah. And a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give to me timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel, which pertains to the temple, for the city wall, and for the house that I will occupy. And the king granted them to me according to the good hand of my God that was upon me. Now, as I said, this day is known. The day, March the 4th, 444 B.C. 69 weeks later, or 483 years, accounting for that there's no such thing as the year zero, adding all the adjustments for leap years, we have been taken to March the 29th, 33 A.D., which is the day that Jesus rode on a donkey into Jerusalem. Amen. What a God that we serve. And to verify it, in one of the few times I could ever find in this book, he gives you the day that this happens. How many other times have you read a description of a king's reign that breaks it down like that to what day it was? See, they know, history knows, atheists know when Artaxerxes became the king. Everyone, it's not even up for dispute. Atheists know it. March the 4th, 444 B.C. See, now, but that was for his death. Or that was when Jesus was recognized by the people as the Messiah. It was on that day. Now, follow me here. Daniel is their hero. Daniel is their Randolph Scott. Look it up later, see what it means. So certainly some 5 or 10 years B.C. during their watch, you see, they're watching. All right, they got the day that he's going to be made. He's going to be acknowledged as Messiah. So certainly, a couple years before that, they're watching. They believe everything that Daniel said. Daniel said, Daniel gives us the day. Once the command is made, they don't even know who's going to give the. Maybe he's going to give it. Maybe my grandmother's going to give it. Who knows? Once the command is given, then you'll know. And you count 483 years from that day, and you can bet your sweet bippy you're going to run into the Messiah. Now, a couple years before that, they're watching. Maybe their calendars are a little bit different than ours, and they were different. A Jewish calendar only had 30 days on it. A Jewish calendar had no leap year. They added an extra month however many years. They added a whole nother month instead of a leap year. So you could be off a little. Years before that, they're looking. They know he's coming. Their hero, Daniel, told them is coming and gives them the day. Gives them the day. Once this happens, once someone in authority gives the command to build up these walls, start looking. Everyone with me? Now, Matthew chapter 2. Now, you good people here are loaded for bear, you see. You know the history behind it. This wasn't just a casual meeting of three guys that stumbled into town. There's more to this than that. Matthew chapter 2. The heading in my Bible, the visit of the Magi. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came Magi from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that was born king of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." All right, so God made Daniel's vision plain to see for the Magi by a star. But they were looking for him. How about you? Maybe you say, well, he's already come. Well, I'll tell you what. Hebrews 9:28 says he's coming a second time. Apart from sin. Meaning he's not coming here to save you. He's not going to die again. They're not going to pull out his beard anymore. He's coming a second time. Apart from sin, to all of them, that's you, that look for him. Just like these Magi. They come to town looking for him. He's coming back again to town. To all of you, everyone out here that's looking for him and looking for his return. This really is my Christmas Eve sermon. That's who he's coming back. Some translations say in Hebrews 9:28, he's coming a second time. To all of you that eagerly await him. Do you guys got kids in Oregon? Remember how it is on Christmas Eve? Remember? The excitement in the air on Christmas Eve? See, when I was a kid, we opened our presents on Christmas Eve. They'd make all of us go upstairs. My dad would ring his bells down there. And man, I couldn't take it. Christmas Eve. That's who he's looking for when he comes back.
Thank you for listening today to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
Wonderful time of the year, with the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the happiest season of all, with those holiday greetings and gay happy meetings when friends come to call. It's the happiest season of all. There'll be parties for hosting, marshmallows for toasting, and caroling out in the snow. There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. It's the most